ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। सो वी वेलकम एवरीबडी टू द मोस्ट ऑस्पिशियस ओकेजन ऑफ श्री श्री राधाष्टमी। टू इनॉग्युरेट दिस भागवतम क्लास वी विल फर्स्ट स्टार्ट विथ द फेमस कीर्तन ऑन श्रीमती राधा रानी एंड वी आर रिक्वेस्टिंग द्विज पीताम्बर प्रभु टू लीड द कीर्तन। इट्स राधे जय जय माधव दायते। थैंक यू।
राधे जय जय माधव दायते। 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 गोकुल तारुणी मंगलमयते।
गोकुल तारुणी मंगलमयते।
गोकुल तारुणी मंगलमयते।
गोकुल तारुणी मंगलमयते।
राधे जय जय माधव दायते।
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 दामोदर राधे वरदान वेशे।
दामोदर राधे वरदान वेशे।
दामोदर राधे वरदान वेशे।
दामोदर राधे वरदान वेशे।
हरि निष्कुट वृंदावन विनेशे।
हरि निष्कुट
हरि निष्कुट वृंदाव विनेश।
हरि निष्कुट वृंदाव विनेश।
राधे जय जय माधव दायते।
राधे जय जय
राधे जय जय माधव दायते। विष भानुदादी नव सखी लेखे।
भानुदादी नव सखी लेखे।
विष भानुदादी नव शशि लेखे। ललित सखी गुण रमित विशाखे। ललित सखी गुण रमित विशाखे। राधे जय जय माधव दायते।
राधे
माधव दायते।
राधे जय जय माधव दायते।
करुणां कुरु माय करुणा भरिते। करुणां कुरु माय करुणा भरिते। सनक सनातन वणिज चरिते। Sanaka Sanatana Varnita Charite Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daide
Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daide
Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daide
for leading this kirtan. Today we are going to read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 4, text 83. Devi Krishna Mai Prokta.
Devi Krishna Mai Prokta.
Radhika Paradevata
Radhika
Paradevata
Sarva Lakshmi Mai Sarva
Sarva Lakshmi Mai Sarva Kanti Sammohini Para
Kanti Sammohini Para
Devi Krishna Mai Prokta
Radhika
Paradevata
Sarva Lakshmi Mai Sarva
Kanti Sammohini Para
Devi Krishna Mai Prokta
Radhika Paradevata
Sarva Lakshmi Mai Sarva
Kanti Sammohini Para
Devi Krishna Mai Prokta
Radhika Paradevata
Sarva Lakshmi Mai Sarva
Kanti Sammohini Para
Devi Krishna Mai Devi Krishna Mai Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mai Sarva Kanti Sammohini Para Devi Krishna Mai Prokta Radhika Paradevata Sarva Lakshmi Mai Sarva Kanti Sammohini Para
Devi, who shines brilliantly, Krishnamayi, non-different from Lord Krishna, Prokta, called Radhika, Srimati Radharani, Paradevata, most worshipable, Sarva Lakshmi Mayi, presiding over all the goddesses of fortune, Sarva Kanti, in whom all splendor exists, Sammohini, whose character completely bewilders Lord Krishna, Para, the superior energy. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. Purport. It's a one-line purport. This text is from the Brahat Gautamiya Tantra.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. Before beginning the class on this most auspicious occasion of Srimati Radharani, it's actually a very esoteric subject matter. I was honestly taken aback when I saw Sukadeva Prabhu had rostered me to give this class. I actually wrote a message to him, maybe somebody else should give, but he said it's a service and I had to do it. So I don't have any purity, nor do I have any understanding or application or realization on the subject matter of Radharani. But because it's a service given to me, I'm seeking the blessings of all the Vaishnavas over here before I start speaking something about glorification of Srimati Radharani. So we will start by understanding who is Srimati Radharani. And once we cover that a little bit, we will also understand what is the qualification we have to understand this subject matter. And then we'll delve into some pastimes of Radharani, because obviously it's Radhashtami, we want to discuss a few pastimes which Radharani had with Lord Krishna. So we'll discuss some pastimes at the end, but in the beginning we wanted to understand the tattva or the philosophy on who is this Radharani or who is Srimati Radharani. So Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, and most of Radharani, like in the Bhagavatam, when actually Uttara comes and asks Parikshit Maharaj, that, you know, please tell me the synopsis of what you heard from Sukadeva Goswami. That time, during that whole conversation, Parikshit Maharaj tells Uttara that Actually, Sukhadev Goswami didn't delve too much into the gopis' pastimes, and he did not delve too much. He did not take, if we see the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, we studied it last year with Keshav Prabhu. Not even one gopi's name is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So not even one gopi's name, and obviously Radharani's name is also not mentioned. So that time, Sukhadev Goswami is explaining to Madhar Uttara, and he's saying that if Sukhadev Goswami would have mentioned, like, why is Radharani or why the gopis are hidden in the Srimad Bhagavatam, although there are many chapters describing their glories. And that is because, we've heard this many times, it's because Sukhadev Goswami would have gone into a trance. If he would have mentioned any of the gopis' names, or if he would have mentioned specially his beloved Srimati Radharani's name. And that is why he avoided taking those names, because he knew he was also sitting there on that Vyasasan doing a service for Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was about to leave the world in 7 days, and Sukhadev Goswami knew the responsibility that was there on his shoulders to actually deliver the pure, pristine message, the highest truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And if he would have mentioned Radharani's name or any of the gopis' name, Sukhadev Goswami would have gone into a trance and he would not have been able to speak further. And then the Bhagavatam would not have been able to be completed in 7 days. So realizing the importance of his service, he was keeping his ecstasies in check. And therefore he was not mentioning explicitly about the gopis' names or Radharani's name. So it's not mentioned anywhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But there is a lot of, like, this subject matter has been delved very deeply by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we do get some glimpses about Srimati Radharani, the Tattva, why, like, how did she come into this world, and who is Srimati Radharani, who is Lord Krishna. All this is explained very elaborately in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained, there is a verse which says, Radha Krishna Aike Sada Ekahi Swaroop Leela Rasa Aswadite Dhare Doi Roop. I'll repeat, Radha Krishna Aiche Sada Ekahi Swaroop Leela Rasa Aswadite Dhare Doi Roop. So the Lord is one Swaroop. He's one. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one. Ekala eva Ishwara Krishna. We know that. Ara Sarva Bhritya. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is just one personality. However, to taste loving pastimes and to relish loving or affectionate dealings with his devotees, he expands into two. So the same person, Lord Krishna, is, you know, the male Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is expanding into two, and that is how Radha Krishna Aiche Sada Ekahi Swaroop. So it is that one Supreme Personality of Godhead who has now expanded into two, and one is Krishna and one has become Radharani. So we see in the Bhagavatam, in so many pages, in so many verses, it is described that Krishna is actually Atmaram. He's completely self-satisfied. He's self-sufficient and self-satisfied. He does not need anybody or anything in this world. He is not dependent on anything. Everything has in fact come from him. So what would he need from somebody? So he is completely self-satisfied. And we know this conviction has been given to us by Sukhadeva Goswami in the Bhagavatam. Then why does he expand into two? What was the need for Krishna to expand into two? Ekala Ishwara Krishna. That is what is also given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So what was the need for expanding into two? The reason given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is that he wanted to relish the loving pastimes with his devotees. And that is why he expands into two. So we see that there is, you know, the Siddhanta, in trying to understand Radha and Krishna, there is the Siddhanta or the Tattva, and then there is Leela. So according to Siddhanta or the Tattva, Ekala Ishwara Krishna, we know that Krishna is one, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the Tattva, and he is Atmaram. That is also the Tattva. He is not dependent on anybody. He is completely self-satisfied within himself. He does not need anybody at all. In fact, in the 10th canto, when we were studying last year, it is described that when Krishna came back to Dwarka, after he was, I think, in Hastinapur for a long time, and then he comes back to Dwarka, and that time it is described, all his queens, they become so ecstatic because Krishna was coming after a long gap, like they were feeling separation from Krishna. And they send all their sons, like, you know, Vedic culture, there is so much chastity and so much etiquette. So, like, not like modern day husband and wife, you know, or partners will hug each other when they see after some time. They would send their children ahead. And you know, the children would hug their father, and that is how the wife would feel the embrace of the husband. So it is described in the Bhagavatam, the wives would send their children ahead to meet their father, and the father would embrace and play with the children. And then further on in the verses, it is described that these queens, they are goddesses of fortune, and they are the most beautiful ladies in this material world, or even in the spiritual world. They are most beautiful. And with their, you know, attractive glances, with their smiles, and with, you know, the movement of their eyebrows, they would try to attract and arouse Lord Krishna's senses, it is described. However, it is mentioned there by Srila Prabhupada that even with all these gestures which the queens would do, the Lord Krishna's senses would, they were never able to agitate Lord Krishna's senses. He was so self-satisfied, or he was so detached, he was so renounced, that they were not able to arouse Krishna. But however, the same personality of Godhead, we know the Siddhanta that he doesn't need anybody, but the same personality of Godhead has expanded into two. So we have to understand there is Siddhanta and there is Leela. So according to Siddhanta, he does not need anybody. We know that. However, in Leela, he is also a person. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. That is what Prabhupada came to teach us time and again. Even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he came to smash the Mayavadis, and he came to establish that the Supreme Lord is a person. He is not some effulgence or light or something like that. So Krishna is also a person. And in terms of Leela, because he's a person, he has needs like we have. Obviously, we are reflection. We have come. We are part and parcel of Krishna. So he also has needs like us. And as a personal, as his personality, he has the need to reciprocate and get love from his devotees. And therefore, he expands. So Krishna loves. He wants his devotees' love. And he wants to enjoy this rasa in different flavors. So he wants to have his parents' love, so there is Vatsalya Bhav. He wants to play with his friends, so there is Sakya Bhav. He also wants to, you know, take service in neutrality, which is Dasya Bhav, where, you know, all the people in Vaikuntha and everybody serve him in that Bhav. And he also wants to enjoy conjugal pastimes. And therefore he expands as Srimati Radharani, and therefore we have the Madhurya Bhav, where, you know, Srimati Radharani plays a major role. So for the purpose of Leela, Krishna expands into two. That same male person becomes a female as well. So it's the same supreme personality of Godhead. In male form, he is known as Krishna. And in the female form, he is Srimati Radharani. That is what the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains. Radharani is the feminine expansion of Lord Krishna. So she is the Ladini Shakti. She is the pleasure-giving potency of Lord Krishna. Now again in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is described that Krishna has unlimited potencies. And these unlimited potencies are categorized into three divisions. The first division is known as the internal potency or the Antaranga Shakti. The second division is the external potency or Bahiranga Shakti. Now this Bahiranga Shakti is represented by Mahamaya, who actually helps Krishna in creating this whole material world. So that is called as the Bahiranga Shakti, and she is obviously an expansion of the internal Shakti. And the third division or the third Shakti is known as marginal potency, which is also known as Tathashta Shakti, and that is all of us, Jiva Tattva. Jivas are all in that marginal potency, Tathashta Shakti. We have the choice, like we can fall down and we can go back by our endeavors and, you know, by the blessings of Acharyas, we can go back to the spiritual world, but we are Tathashta, so we always have this tendency to keep falling down into the external energy of Lord Krishna and get entrapped by Mahamaya. Now, speaking of internal potency or the Antaranga Shakti, that which is also known as Swarupa Shakti or Chitta Shakti, and that is further divided into three aspects. It has three further aspects. The first aspect is called as Sandini Shakti, which represents the Sat aspect of Lord Krishna, and which is obviously eternality. So it represents the eternality aspect. The second Shakti is Samvit Shakti. Samvit Shakti is the knowledge Shakti, the knowledge potency. And what does this knowledge potency represent? It's the Chit Shakti, or the knowledge potency represents on how one gets the knowledge of realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is whenever, you know, one comes to the realization and one absorbs that knowledge that yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I have to surrender to him. That is the role of this Samvit Shakti. And Ladini Shakti, the third aspect of the Antaranga Shakti is Ladini Shakti. So Ladini Shakti is the Anand aspect, and that is also known as the pleasure-giving potency. And this Ladini Shakti is none other than Srimati Radharani. So she is the Ladini Shakti expansion of Lord Sri Krishna. And there is a famous verse which almost on every Radhashtami we recite, which is again there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which says, Mahabhava Swarupa Shri Radha Thakurani Sarvaguna Khani Krishna Kanta Shiromani. Mahabhava Swarupa Shri Radha Thakurani. So who is Srimati Radharani? She is the embodiment of this, of Mahabhav. She is the embodiment of the highest love one can experience for Lord Krishna. Sarva Guna Khani, she is the repository of all good qualities. So in fact, last Saturday in our children's class, we are doing the children's class online nowadays, and last Saturday in our children's class, we actually did an activity with all the children of dwelling on the 25 qualities of Srimati Radharani, which are given in the scriptures. And the children made nice hearts and they made garlands of hearts and put them on Srimati Radharani and wrote down each quality of Krishna. So we did that activity. It was so nice. It was very absorbing to understand these qualities of Srimati Radharani. So she is the repository of all good qualities. And Kanta Shiromani, she is the crest jewel of all the lovely consorts of of Krishna. So she, all the gopas, it is described, come out from the pores of Lord Krishna, and all the gopis, the eternal consorts of Krishna and Srimati Radharani, all these gopis come out from the pores of Srimati Radharani. She is the repository, like she is the main feminine aspect, and then every expansion comes from Srimati Radharani. So that is how we understand Radharani's tattva. That is how it is explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That Krishna is one supreme personality of Godhead, but he has expanded into two to have, you know, loving exchanges and pastimes with his Ladini Shakti or with his pleasure potency, which is none other than Radharani. So she is non-different from Krishna. She is just the feminine expansion of Krishna. Now, how she appeared in Golok Vrindavan? So it's, you know, when I was reading about this in the scriptures, it was very difficult for me to understand that how, means was there a beginning of time before which no one existed, but it's hard, like, you know, it's time zero, but it is still described how Radharani appeared in Golok Vrindavan. So it is described that Krishna was once sitting in the Rasa Mandala next to like there was a tall mountain, and which is known as Govardhan in the material world. So he was sitting in that Rasa Mandala on a beautiful Ratna Simhasana, he was sitting. And while he was sitting over there, the desire arose in him to enjoy, to have rasa, to exchange of rasa, to have some leelas. So he obviously he's alone, so he needed someone to enjoy when that desire arose in him. Just as we know from the pastime of Jai Vijay, like, you know, when the four Kumaras came to visit Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha, Jai and Vijay stopped them. And obviously, we know the whole pastime is there. The four Kumaras curse them that you will go down into the material world because you are seeing this duality. Because they thought they are young children who has come, and young children don't have entry to Vaikuntha. So they curse them, and that time, you know, they are given a choice. Vishnu comes, he intervenes, he pacifies the four Kumaras, and obviously the curse cannot be taken back. And that time, you know, he intervenes and he gives them a choice. And the Jai and Vijay choose. Like, they are given that whether you want to have seven births as devotees or three births as demons. And they didn't want to be in the material world for a long time. So they chose the three births as demons, even though it was a demon birth, so that they can quickly wind up and go back. And that time it is described that actually this whole pastime was orchestrated because Lord Vishnu had a desire to fight. And because that desire to fight arose in him, this whole pastime got orchestrated, because whom can Lord Vishnu fight with other than his own devotees? Who can give a proper fight to Vishnu or Krishna? So then this whole pastime got orchestrated where Jai and Vijay were then, you know, taking birth as demons, and they then fought with Lord Krishna in different forms that he came in the material world. As Ravana, Kumbhakarna, we know those pastimes as Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. So that is how whenever the Lord gets a desire, his, you know, internal potency arranges for his desires to be fulfilled. So when Lord Krishna was sitting on this Ratna Simhasan in the Rasa Mandala, he got this desire to enjoy, to exchange rasa, to have loving exchanges with his devotees. And that time, because that desire arose in his mind, from his left side, appeared a most beautiful Devi, it is described. She was dazzling like millions of moons. She was illuminating the whole atmosphere as soon as she appeared. She was wearing beautiful clothes, bluish color clothes she was wearing, and her complexion was like molten gold. Pure gold, we see when pure gold shines in the sunshine, how beautiful it looks. So her complexion was of molten gold. She was illuminating all the directions. And when she was smiling, her teeth were like pearls. They were so beautiful, like jasmine buds or pearls. Very beautifully her teeth were placed. And the beauty of her face, her moon-like face, defeated the beauty of the autumn lotus flower. Like in the lotus flower becomes very beautiful in the autumn season. But her face was defeating the beauty of this lotus flower. So that was the description given of this Devi who appeared from the left side of Krishna. And she appeared sitting next to Krishna on that beautiful Ratna Simhasana in Golok Vrindavan. And as soon as she appeared, she was smiling, you know, and she was smiling very mercifully and glancing at Lord Krishna. And she understood that the Lord, she has appeared because the Lord got this desire to enjoy. And as soon as she understood that, the desire arose in her to serve Lord Krishna. So she immediately ran. And when she ran to pick up some flowers, and she brought some flowers so that she can offer them to the lotus, at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So it is described that because she appeared to give pleasure to Lord Krishna, or Raman, it is called, to give pleasure is called Raman. And also one reason is given is because she appeared in the Rasa Mandala. So that Ra from the Rasa Mandala, or giving Raman to Krishna. So Ra from there. So therefore the first initials of her name are Ra. And because she ran, as soon as she appeared, she ran to serve the Lord, to pick up flowers in the service of the Lord, which is also known as Dhavamana, to, you know, run. And therefore her second part of her name is Dha. So that is why her name is Radha, one who gives Raman to Krishna, or because she appeared in the Rasa Mandala, it's Ra, and because she ran to do service, Dhavamana, therefore it is Dha. So that, hence she is known as Radha, that was her eternal name. So this is how she appeared in Golok Vrindavan. And we see as soon as she appeared, her only purpose in life was to give pleasure to Lord Krishna, to satisfy the desire of Lord Krishna that he wants to enjoy, and therefore I will make all arrangements for his enjoyment and for his satisfaction. So that is what we see Radharani doing as soon as she appears in Golok Vrindavan. Now how she appeared in Bhuloka? So there are many different versions given, and I was reading Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj's Radharani book. In that it is explained, there are three different versions given. So we won't dwell too much into all the three versions. But one of the main versions, or very popular versions, which we have heard in many lectures, is that, you know, her eternal parents, Radharani's eternal parents, are Kirtida Mata and Vrishabhanu Maharaj. So they both had already appeared in Bhulok Vrindavan, and they both did not have any child for many, many years. So they did some austerities, and as part of that austerities, Vrishabhanu Maharaj was in the Yamuna River performing some austerities, and his eyes were deeply closed in meditation in the Yamuna River. And it is described that while he was doing these austerities, there was a beautiful 1,000-petaled lotus flower which came floating towards him. And this lotus flower was illuminating the entire Yamuna, all the directions it was spreading its illumination. And it came and touched Vrishabhanu Maharaj, and his eyes opened, his meditation broke because this lotus flower touched him. And he saw, he was also dazzled by the illumination coming from the lotus flower. So when he saw, there was a beautiful baby girl on this lotus flower. And this baby girl had the complexion of molten gold. And she was such a beautiful baby child that Vrishabhanu Maharaj realized that this is, you know, the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that I have been given this child. She has been sent to me to accept as prasad of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he picks up that little baby girl from the flower, and he takes her to Mother Kirtida. And Mother Kirtida also becomes extremely jubilant when she sees this beautiful baby girl, because they did not have a child for many years. And that is how Radharani is united with her eternal parents in Bhulok Vrindavan as well. And then there is the whole pastime about how she wasn't opening her eyes. So we'll dwell into that in 2 minutes. But before we dwell into all these pastimes of Radha and Krishna, We'll discuss a little bit because it is a very esoteric subject matter. And Srila Prabhupada usually would not speak about Radharani much. In fact, this whole concept of Radharani is so hidden that it's not even available in many other sampradayas. Not everyone has an understanding of Srimati Radharani. So there is a beautiful conversation in the Chaitanya Charitamrita between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkata Bhatta. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know, during the 4 months of Chaturmasya, he had traveled to, just before the 4 months, he had traveled to South India on a pilgrimage, on a yatra. And when he was in that pilgrimage in Sri Rangam, he was staying at the house of Venkata Bhatta. And Venkata Bhatta and his family were very lovingly serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to have lots of jovial conversations with Venkata Bhatta about the tattva, and you know, because Venkata Bhatta was an ardent devotee in the Sri Sampradaya. His worshipable deities were Lakshmi Narayan. So he was an ardent devotee over there, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, obviously, you know, he was a worshipper of Radha and Krishna. So he used to have joking conversations with Venkata Bhatta. So once during such a conversation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Venkata Bhatta, he said that you are a devotee of Lakshmi Narayan. Can you please explain to me why your worshipable goddess of fortune, Srimati Lakshmi Devi, who is the wife of Vishnu, she is desiring to enter into the Rasa Leela which is happening in Golok Vrindavan? Why is she having this desire? She already has a husband, and you all say she is the most chaste woman on this earth. So why is it that she is wanting to give up her husband's company and she wants to enter the Rasa Leela? So Venkata Bhatta tries to give some explanations, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know that before he became a devotee, he was such an expert logician and very good command over scriptures and all that. So he was completely smashing all the arguments Venkata Bhatta was trying to give him. Now what to speak of Lakshmi Devi? Like, we are hearing about how Lakshmi Devi was so eager to enter into the pastimes or the Ras Leela pastime of Radha and Krishna. There are so many other personalities we know about in the scriptures who are also very eager to get an entrance into the Vrindavan pastimes, especially the Gopis pastimes and Radharani's pastimes. So much so that some devotees are eager, or some personalities are eager, that they are ready to do a species change. There was one personality who was ready to do a species change. There was two personalities who were ready to do sex change. Like, you know, nowadays in Kali Yuga we see sex change and all that. And there was one personality who was ready to become jad matter just because they wanted Radharani's association and they wanted the gopis, you know, to understand the love that the gopis and Radharani have for Sri Krishna. So speaking of the first person, so species change, this was none other than Uddhava. So Uddhava, again we studied in the 10th canto last year, Uddhava was sent by Lord Krishna to Vrindavan as a messenger. So there were dual purposes. Krishna is Daksha. Daksha are very expert. So expertise means a person can achieve 2-3 goals with one action. That is called as a Daksha. And Krishna was Daksha in all these matters. So he not only wanted a message to be sent to all the Vrajavasis, because Uddhava's appearance and, you know, he was very similar looking to Krishna. And he would always wear Krishna's Mahaprasad clothes and all. So he would almost look like Krishna. So he knew that, you know, if he sends Uddhava, they will all be very pacified because they will see someone who looks similar to Krishna. But not only to give the message he sends Uddhava, but he wanted Uddhava to learn the higher truths of love. That was also one more purpose why Krishna sends. And when Uddhava goes there and he sees the love of the gopis, he sees the love of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, obviously, and then he sees the love of the gopis, which you know, gopis and especially Srimati Radharani had for Lord Krishna. And that whole bumblebee, you know, pastime where Radharani is having conversations with the bumblebee, where she is expressing the highest mahabhav that anybody can have in this world for Krishna. So she is expressing that, and that conversation which she is having, so Uddhava sees all these esoteric or highest platform of love which he had never experienced. And that is what completely overwhelms Uddhava, and he realizes his own insignificance. Because he was very close to Lord Krishna. When Krishna was in Dwarka, he would associate regularly with Lord Krishna. He would be like by Lord Krishna's side 24 hours a day. That was how close Uddhava was to Lord Krishna. But when he realized the love of the gopis, he realized how insignificant his love is in comparison to the gopis' love. So when he sees all that and he sees Radharani's love, he desires to change, have a change in species just so that he can be under the shelter of all these gopis. So he is ready to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan. A gulmalata, it is said. He's saying, I don't want this form, I just want to become a gulmalata so that I am trampled under the feet of all the gopis and Srimati Radharani and the dust of their feet falls on my head. So this is Uddhava wanting to have a species change just to enter the pastimes and, you know, experience the love which the gopis have. Then we also have two personalities wanting a sex change to enter the pastimes, and that was Narad Muni and Lord Shiva. Both of them wanted to enter the Rasalila, but obviously no other male apart from Krishna has entrance into the Rasalila. So they were actually okay to become a female so that they can go and witness the Rasalila. And they did that. The whole pastime is there where, you know, they are dipped in the Sarovar and they come out as Naradi or Gopi and they come out in the female form, Lord Shiva and Narad Muni, and that's when they are able to witness the whole Rasalila. So they are ready to have a sex change and they are great personalities. We know Lord Shiva. He is actually the male, you know, Lord Shiva and Durga, when they unite the whole progeny and this whole material world gets created. So we know Lord Shiva is the main Purusha in the secondary creation that happens. But still he is ready to become a female to just enter the Leela or the pastimes of Srimati Radharani. And then there is one personality who is ready to become matter. Jad matter, we say, no? Jad dhatu. And that is none other than Lord Brahma. So when Lord Brahma, he has heard about the glories of Srimati Radharani, he wants to become the four hills in Barsana. Mangad, all those hills are there, and he has actually become, that is Lord Brahma. Those four hills are Lord Brahma's four heads. So he is happy to just give up his position as Lord Brahma and become this jad matter, just so that he can, Radharani and all the gopis can trample on him. So this is how much eager everyone is to get some taste or glimpse of the love that the gopis and Srimati Radharani have for Lord Krishna. And here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is having this joking conversation with Venkatabhata. He's saying that how come Lakshmiji was not given entrance into the Rasalila? So obviously Venkatabhata tried explaining, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not convinced. Then he further asked, he said, Shruti paaye Lakshmi na paaye ithe ki karan. So he's saying, Shruti paaye Lakshmi na paaye. So we know when, you know, the gopis are described in Bhagavatam, there are some gopis which are called as Shrutichari gopis and Munichari gopis. So he's saying even the Shrutis, they are Vedas personified and they also can get, you know, entrance into Krishna's pastimes. They became Shrutichari gopis, but Lakshmi is not getting entrance. So Shruti is God, but Lakshmi Devi went and she had no entrance into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So he's saying, why? Why did this happen? And then Venkatabhat was, he had given all the explanations he could. He didn't have any further explanation to give to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was just surrendering himself to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he says, Iha praveshita nare mora man. So he's saying that I am unable to explain these subject matters. And when he's explaining that, Venkatabhat expresses three disqualifications. Why he is not able to explain these esoteric subject matters, why Lakshmi Devi couldn't get entrance into Radha Krishna's pastimes. So there he says, Ami jivak shudra buddhir sahaja asthir Ishwarera leela koti samudra gambhir. So he's saying, Ami jivak shudra buddhir sahaja asthir Ishwara leela koti samudra gambhir. So he's saying, koti samudra gambhir. The pastimes of Radha and Krishna are as deep as Koti Samudra. So we know one Samudra or one ocean is so deep. Like some oceans, we, you know, even scientists have not been able to get the depth of some of the oceans in this world. They are so deep. And he's saying that Koti Samudra, thousands or crores of these oceans put together, that's how deep Radha Krishna's pastimes are. So he's saying that is the first thing. They are so deep that it is very hard for me to delve into the depths of these Radha Krishna pastimes. And then he's saying, Ami Jiva. Ami Jiva means I am a spirit soul. I am a spirit soul, and we know the size of the soul. It's such an insignificant. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is explained that the size of a spirit soul is 1/10,000 the tip of a hair. So it's such an insignificant size, and that is why he's saying, Ami Jiva, I'm an insignificant Jiva, and their pastimes are Koti Samudra Gambhir. Their pastimes are as deep as crores of oceans put together. So that is the first disqualification, he says. The second disqualification he talks about is Kshudra Buddhir. Kshudra Buddhir means I have limited intelligence, very little intelligence I have. So first of all, I'm a Jiva who's an insignificant 1,000, 10,000, the tip of a hair. Plus I have limited intelligence. That's my second disqualification. And my third disqualification is I am Sahaja Asthir. Sahaja Asthir means I am very easily agitated, very chanchal. My mind is very chanchal. So, you know, when we read these three disqualifications, we can, you know, especially speaking of me, in Kali Yuga, we can all identify with these three disqualifications. All of us are Jivas, you know, insignificant Jivas, 1/10,000 the tip of a hair. All of us have limited intelligence, and we all can get very easily agitated in Kali Yuga. And that is what Venkata Bhat is explaining, that these are my disqualifications. So I cannot, I'm in complete ignorance because of my limited intelligence. I'm rolling in the mode of passion and ignorance. And who am I to understand these Koti Samudra Gambhir pastimes of Radha and Krishna? So what to speak of this? Because of our limited intelligence and Asthir Buddhi, we as, you know, conditioned souls of this Kali Yuga are not even able to understand normal mundane subject matters like academics or even politics, economics. How much are we able to understand all these matters? Sometimes we say, no, upar se gaya. You know, in Hindi we say, it all went over my head. I couldn't understand anything. Now, you know, with the COVID-19 thing, I'm reading in the news, all the VC students, the year 12 students, they've been badly affected, obviously, because of the COVID-19. But now they're asking, give us some, you know, consideration, give us this discount, you know, consider this for our marks, don't do this. So everyone, you know, because of limited intelligence and limited capabilities, even for understanding academic material matters, we need so many considerations. Underrepresented school, I was affected like this, my mark should be scaled up because of this and this reason. So all these things are going on right now about the year 12 students. And that is what Venkata Bhat is explaining, that my Kshudra Buddhi and my Asthir, Sahaja Asthir, it's not allowing me to understand all these esoteric subject matters. He is also saying, what to speak of Leelas, for me it's difficult to understand all this. Plus my Buddhi is Asthir. And we see that this Buddhi Asthir becomes because of so many physical factors. External factors can cause so much, you know, man chanchalam, or, you know, disturbed minds in this Kali Yuga. Now we see right now we are all in the grip of this COVID pandemic. We are in stage 4 restrictions in Melbourne. There is, you know, every day there are, thankfully because of stage 4, looks like the cases are coming down. We don't know whether the testing has reduced or the cases have genuinely dropped, but we are hoping that things are getting better. But we again, in the news it is there that because of this COVID pandemic, like people who died, people who got physically affected, who got the virus, that is a separate thing. But because of all these stage 3 lockdown, stage 4 lockdown and all, people's minds have become completely disturbed. There are so many mental health disorders have risen very highly during the last few months. In fact, in my office also, you know, in corporate world, they provide all this support, employee assistance program and all these things. So in my office also, they are continuously sending emails, continuously, you know, reaching out to everybody, arranging some programs where the employees can get assistance, because they are realizing that this COVID is affecting people. And especially we know in the Western societies, people live alone. Like in my team, I have so many people who live alone, on their own. And right now they are not even allowed to associate with anybody. So it's really getting to people's head, and, you know, anxiety, depression, suicidal tendencies, all this has risen in the last few months. So with all this going on in the world, obviously our buddhi or our, you know, intelligence is going to, or our minds are going to get disturbed. During Venkata Bhat times, 500 years ago, it was much more peaceful atmosphere. If it would have been now, you would have completely fainted looking at the atmosphere we are in now. So that is what he's seeing, that because of all this Asthir Buddhi, how are we going to have any entrance and understanding of Radha Krishna's pastimes? And that is what Venkata Bhat is. So through his own disqualifications, obviously Venkata Bhatt is opening our eyes as well, that we are all so disqualified. We don't have, like especially me, we don't have the qualifications to understand Radha Krishna's pastimes. If we can just embed in ourselves that we are a spirit soul and not this body, that itself is a big realization. To come to that complete platform of, I am not the body, I am the spirit soul. So he's revealing all this, and what to speak of Venkata Bhatt, even Bhakti Vinod Thakur mentions. Now Bhakti Vinod Thakur is Kamala Manjari in the spiritual world. But he says that when I read the 10th canto, I was completely confused. I couldn't understand the esoteric subject matter of the 10th canto. Only when I read the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the teachings of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that's when I got some understanding of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are seeing over here that all the acharyas, Venkata Bhatt and even all our acharyas and even Srila Prabhupada have time and again cautioned us not to straight away jump to the 10th canto, not to straight away dwell into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, but go systematically in the study. So, you know, that is why Prabhupada wrote so many small books as well, so that we all read those small books, come to that understanding about the basic tenets of Krishna consciousness. Only then systematically we reach the 10th canto through careful study of the first 9 cantos. So that is what all our acharyas are warning before we dwell into pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So there is a very nice exchange which Srila Prabhupada had in 1969 when he was in Boston. He was recuperating. His health had not been good, so he was recuperating in Boston. And at that time, the BTG team came to visit him, the Back to Godhead team, which was comprising of Satswarup Maharaj, Jayadvait Maharaj and Haigriva Prabhu. So they three came to meet him, and Kirtananda Maharaj was already present over there. And they had a very nice conversation. So Prabhupada gave them very powerful instructions. And when I was reading about this whole conversation, what all great things Prabhupada has done, but Prabhupada was a very good strategist as well. Like, he had everything thought out so clearly. And in this conversation, he's laying down the purpose of the BTG magazine very nicely through this conversation to the BTG team. So he's telling about, he's talking to them, and he's saying that what should our BTG magazine cater to and what should it not cater to? That is what Prabhupada was trying to explain to the BTG team. So he says that there are 4 things when a person comes to the movements. The first thing is to awaken a person. The second thing is to train them. The third thing, or the third step, is that then they understand the tattva, the philosophy and all that. And then the fourth stage is absorption. So the first step when somebody is little bit expressing interest is to awaken them to the fact that they are not this body, they are the spirit soul. The second step after they have, crossed the first stage is to train them. The third step is then that they understand the tattva, the philosophy, and then the final stage is absorption. So Prabhupada was explaining to them that people are just sleeping in ignorance right now. They are peacefully sleeping. We know the famous song, Jeev Jago, Gora Chander Bole. Kota Nidra Jao Maya Pisha Chera Bola Bole. How long, Gora Chander is singing, Jeev Jago, how long will you all sleep in the lap of Maya? Please wake up and realize that this Maya is just taking you away and away from your goal of attaining the lotus feet of Krishna. So how will people go ahead if they are sleeping peacefully? So the first step is to awaken them. To awaken them that they are not the body, but they are the spirit soul. To awaken them to the fact that there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the goal of life is to attain love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in fact, Srila Prabhupada gave only 5 lectures on Radhashtami. He did not speak much about Radhashtami, like Radharani. And even in these 5 lectures, most of the time, Prabhupada quoted Dehi Nosmin Yatha Dehe verse. Most of the time, Prabhupada would hardly speak about any deep pastimes of Radharani with Krishna on Radhashtami lectures. He would only speak Dehi Nosmin Yatha Dehe, how we are not this body, but we are the spirit soul. So Prabhupada was driving this point because he knew the first purpose is to awaken people. Because right now people are peacefully thinking they are peacefully, enjoying this material world. So that was the first step. And then he said the second step is training. So he told Jayadvait Maharaj that once someone is awakened and someone is inquisitive and they are ready, then we start training them in Vaishnava life. So then we teach. So the first is Sambandha and then is the Abhideya. So we start teaching them the process of Krishna consciousness, and we start teaching them all the tenets of how to, you know, come to Krishna consciousness. So there was a beautiful conversation, I was hearing in one of the lectures, where a reporter comes to actually talk to a CEO of a company, and he's a very successful CEO. And the reporter asked the CEO, he asked that, what is the secret of your success? Can you please tell me? So this CEO says that, yes, I will definitely tell you, the secret of my success is making the right decisions. So then the reporter asks, really? That's really nice to know. But can you please tell me that how do you make right decisions? And then the CEO said, one word. And he said, and the reporter became very eager to understand. So he said, yeah, what is it? So he said, experience. So then the reporter asked him further. He said, okay. So the reporter was digesting whatever the CEO was saying. And then he said that, but how does one get that experience? How do you get the experience to be able to make right decisions? So then the CEO said again two words. And the reporter said, yes, what are they? Please tell me. And he said, wrong decisions. So it's the wrong decisions which gives you the experience to make the right decisions. That is what the CEO was explaining. So we know that, you know, we've heard the popular proverb in English which says experience is the best teacher. However, if we know that there are four levels of intelligence, and, you know, our acharyas explain that experience is the best teacher, but only fools learn by experience, not intelligent people. So intelligent people want to understand by hearing. That is how intelligent people understand. So we know those four levels of intelligence. The first level is when somebody understands just by hearing. The second level of intelligence is when somebody actually sees somebody else experiencing misery, and then they realize, oh, no, I should not go through that. So they understand like that. The third level of intelligence is when someone experiences themselves, and then they learn, okay, yeah, I got burnt. I put my finger in the fire and I got burnt, so I should not put. But the fourth level of intelligence is people who experience but still don't learn. They put their finger in the fire, they get burnt, but the next time they forget and again put their finger in the fire. So that is how people in this world are. Everybody knows that I'm trying to seek happiness, but it's going to lead me to misery. So therefore, for us as devotees, and what Prabhupada came to teach us, is that we should be at that first level of intelligence where we are trying to understand just by hearing. And that is what Srila Prabhupada was trying to stress to the BTG team, that awaken people through sound vibration, or even reading, that is also hearing. So awaken people through sound vibration, and once they have awakened, then you train them in the tenets of Krishna consciousness, in the Vaishnava lifestyle. You start training them, and after that will be the prayojana, which is understanding and absorption. Absorption is obviously a very high Paramahamsa stage. So Prabhupada then told them, the strategist that he was, he told the BTG team that the purpose of BTG is only two. It's to awaken people and then to train them. We are not trying to bring them to the next two levels through BTG. So he was trying to give a direction to them that through the BTG magazine, your articles and editorials should be just to awaken people and to start training them in the tenets of Krishna consciousness. So therefore we see that when Prabhupada is talking like this, he is realizing that people are, how much disqualified people are, and therefore BTG, which is widely distributed, should not be under, you know, catering to the third and fourth purpose, which is the prayojana, that is the understanding and absorption. Don't talk about esoteric pastimes there, because all of us are disqualified to hear about these esoteric pastimes of Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna. So having understood that, yes, we are all disqualified, we don't have the qualification. Prabhupada always wanted us to first remember, like he was speaking in the Radhashtami lectures, that Dehi Nosmin Yathade, that is something which we embed in ourselves, and that from that platform we then, you know, proceed further, like our acharyas have explained, step by step, very systematically we try to enter the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So once we've understood that, because it's Radhashtami, we will speak a little bit about the pastimes as well of Radha and Krishna. So coming back to the Bhulok birth of Srimati Radharani. So when Vrishabhanu Maharaj received her, they both were very happy, Kirtida and Vrishabhanu Maharaj. However, they observed that Radharani was not opening her eyes at all. And they thought that our child is blind. And they were extremely worried about that fact. And in the meantime, Narad Muni had heard that, you know, he had obviously come to take darshan of Shri Krishna when he heard that the Supreme Lord has appeared. So it seems he went to Golok Vrindavan and he saw everything is quite dull. And then somebody told him that, you know, obviously we know it's the pastimes go on parallelly. But for Leela, somebody told Narad Muni that Krishna has gone down with his whole entourage into Golok, into Bhumi Vrindavan. So then Narad Muni comes, he takes darshan of Lord Krishna. And then he realizes that if Lord Krishna has come, definitely his consort, his eternal consort Radharani also must have taken birth somewhere. So he started going to every house. And he started telling them that if you have a child who's born, you know, recently born, I would like to just bless that child. And everybody was receiving Narad Muni very nicely because he's an exalted devotee, obviously. And then, you know, he could not see the Supreme Goddess anywhere. So after that, he enters the palace of Rishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtida. And he tells them that if you have a young child, I would like to bless them. So they first bring Sridhama, who was Radharani's brother, to him for blessings. And Sridhama was also very beautiful. He was a very beautiful boy. And Narad Muni gives him profuse blessings. And he says that this child, this boy is going to be the constant companion of Krishna and Balaram. He's going to be a friend of Krishna Balaram and he's going to constantly have their association and have, you know, participate in their leelas. So that's the blessing he gives. And then Narad Muni was getting dejected because he wanted to have darshan of the goddess of fortune. And he was about to leave and that time then Rishabhanu Maharaj brings this little baby girl and he puts her in Narad Muni's lap and he says that we also have this little baby girl who was born recently. However, she's blind. She's not opening her eyes at all. So then Narad Muni takes her in her lap and she in his lap and he realizes that this is none other than Srimati Radharani through his own transcendental vision. And he goes into ecstasy. It is described, he's stunned when he sees Srimati Radharani in her baby form. Because even though her eyes were shut, completely, tightly shut, she was the most beautiful child he had ever seen. And he had visited so many houses in Vrindavan already. So he was stunned by her beauty and just by her touch, he goes into ecstasy. And Radharani becomes so pleased with Narad Muni that she actually blesses him and she gives him the darshan of her Kaishori form. So now, as soon, you know, Narad Muni is in that trance and he gets darshan of Radharani with all the sakhis standing there. All her eternal consorts, all the gopis are standing over there. And Narad Muni gets this whole darshan of the Radharani with all her sakhis. And he feels so blessed, he pays obeisances to that form of Srimati Radharani. And at that time, you know, then Radharani withdraws her darshan. And Narad Muni is still paying obeisances. So Rishabhanu Maharaj enters and he says, why are you paying obeisances to this little girl? You please bless her instead of paying obeisances to her. And then he says that this girl is going to be the eternal consort of Sri Krishna who has just been born. She is the eternal goddess of fortune. All the other goddesses of fortune are her expansions. So you are so fortunate that this little baby girl has born in your house. Please raise her very carefully. And saying that, Narad Muni just, you know, departs from there in that ecstasy that he was feeling from getting Radharani's darshan. So then Kirtida and Rishabhanu organize a big festival. They were a bit hesitant because the girl was blind, they were thinking, but they thought they should still celebrate because Narad Muni has given such blessings. So then they invite all the cowherd boys and all the cowherd men from the villages. And Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Maya were very good friends with Rishabhanu and Kirtida. So they also come over there and then it is described that while all the adults were having conversation, Krishna slips from Yashoda Maya's hand. She was carrying him because he was also a little child. He slips from Yashoda Maya's hand and he crawls up to the cradle where Radharani is sleeping. And then with his lotus hand, he touches the face of Srimati Radharani and her eyes specially. And as soon as Srimati Radharani realizes that this is none other than my worshipable Lord Krishna, whose touch I'm feeling, she opens her eyes and she smiles at Lord Krishna. And the reason for this is also explained. So when Krishna had decided to appear in Bhulok Vrindavan, he was having a conversation with Srimati Radharani. And Radharani becomes very distressed. She says, you're going to leave me and go away, Krishna, from Golok Vrindavan? And Krishna says, no, I have made arrangements that all of us will appear. You will also appear over there. And I've already sent Govardhan, I've already sent Yamuna, I've already sent the whole Vrindavan Dham down to earth. So Radharani is still distressed. She says that, but in the material world, in Bhuloka, I will have to see so many other males. I don't want to see anybody. My eyes always want to drink the nectar of your beautiful face, Krishna. And that time Krishna says that, don't worry, you will be only seeing my form most of the times. And then Radharani says, okay, but I will not open my eyes until I see you first in that Bhulok Vrindavan. And that was the promise she had given to Krishna, and that is what she was fulfilling over here. She did not want to open her eyes and did not want to see anybody else before she saw her beloved Lord Krishna. So that is her childhood pastime which happens. Now, you know, speaking of Radharani's merciful nature, because in the 25 qualities which are described of Srimati Radharani, her supreme most quality is her merciful nature. She's extremely compassionate to all her devotees. So because of her compassion to all her devotees, she actually creates the Navadvip Dham. So it is described that the Navadvip Dham was personally created by Radharani with her own hands. So once Krishna was enjoying with the gopi Viraja, and while he was enjoying with this Viraja gopi, Radharani feels very distressed. Because we know in Golok Vrindavan, these, you know, pastimes are there where there is anger, there is jealousy amongst the, there's right-wing gopis, left-wing gopis. So Radharani is the head of the left-wing gopis. And the left-wing gopis are non-submissive, they want to control Krishna. So she's the head of that. So she keeps getting angry with Krishna for all these things. And then he goes and pacifies her. Man Mandir is also there in Vrindavan. So he goes and pacifies her. And then, you know, she again enjoys her pastime. Lalita, Vishakha, they all call Krishna sometimes a debauchee and all. So this is how the left-wing gopi's mood is. So Radharani was very upset first when, you know, she realized that Krishna is enjoying and having pastimes with Viraja gopi. But then she thinks that, how do I attract Krishna back to me? How do I serve Krishna in such a way that he will leave Viraja Gopi and he will come back to me attracted by my service to him? So she calls for all her millions of gopi friends and she says, I want to create such a beautiful place that Krishna himself will get attracted to come to this place. So with her own hands, she started creating a beautiful grove, like a kunja, where she started putting different flowers. She made, you know, such nice arrangements, like we can see in the temple and on the altar. So many devotees headed by Vasudha Priya Mataji have made such beautiful arrangements. So, you know, I was just thinking, this is all Radharani's mercy that we have such beautiful arrangements being made in a temple, despite these COVID restrictions and all that. So there also in Golok Vrindavan, Radharani started creating that. She started creating a beautiful kunja with lots of creepers, lots of different types of butterflies, bumblebees, fragrant flowers. She also, you know, bordered that kunja with Ganga on one side and Yamuna on one side. The two rivers were on two sides of this kunja. And then she sat down. After creating this beautiful kunja, she sat down in that kunja and she started playing the flute. So it is actually said that although we always see Krishna with flute, you know, always in threefold bending form playing flute. But Krishna's guru in flute was Radharani. She actually taught him how to play the flute. So Radharani was expert musician. She could play so many different instruments very expertly. So she started playing the flute after she sat down in the kunja. And just by the sound of the flute and by the beauty of that beautiful kunja that she had created, Krishna actually became very attracted. And he was drawn to that kunja and to Srimati Radharani. And when he entered that place, he became so ecstatic. And he told Srimati Radharani, he said that, this is such a beautiful place you have created for my pleasure. I'm so pleased that I will never leave your side and go. And because you created this whole place for my pleasure to attract me, and you rendered such a beautiful service, I bless that we will eternally reside over here. And this will be the crest jewel of all holy dhams. All the holy dhams will be present in this particular kunja that you have created. And I will, whoever comes to visit this place, they will be blessed to return back to my lotus feet. So this is the blessing Sri Krishna gave because Radharani rendered this service. And he said that because you have created like this beautiful kunja, which is a replica of Vrindavan, this will be also known as Nava Vrindavan or New Vrindavan. And because it is surrounded by these, you know, Ganga and Yamuna were surrounding the kunja, people will also call as Navadvip, Dweep means an island. Because it has become like an island, people will also call it as Navadweep in the future. So this is how Radharani creates this whole Navadweep Dham by her own hands. And we are so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada came to reveal the glories of Navadweep Dham to all of us, such that we are able to visit that holy place and dwell in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna over there. So this is the merciful nature of Radharani. She left this Navadweep Dham for us. In fact, it is described that as Kali Yuga progresses, Vrindavan will disappear, Govardhan will disappear, all these dhams will disappear. But the glory of Navadweep Dham will keep increasing in Kali Yuga. For some period of time, it will keep increasing. And we are seeing that is about to come. We are seeing this beautiful temple of Vedic planetarium being created. So we see that the glory of Navadweep Dham is increasing day by day because of the efforts of all the devotees and because of the blessings of Krishna on that dham. So that is the merciful nature of Radharani. She left this dham for us, for all of us to go and take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of Radha and Krishna. And in her merciful nature also extended, we see her merciful nature in the pastimes of the Goswamis. There are such beautiful pastimes which Radharani personally had with the Goswamis, especially with Raghunath Das Goswami. So we know Raghunath Das Goswami is like the renunciation acharya amongst all the six Goswamis. He would drink one cup of buttermilk in a day, and then also he would think that I'm, you know, doing so much sense gratification, I don't have control over my tongue. And, you know, all of us are waiting for the Radhashtami feast at 12 o'clock so that we can all, you know, indulge in that feast. But Raghunath Das Goswami was like that. He was the renunciation acharya. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami had told him many times that because Raghunath Das Goswami would not care about his bodily necessities at all. He would just sit even in the hot sun and he would just be absorbed in chanting the holy names of the Lord. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami told him many times, why are you sitting in this? Because Vrindavan sun is very hot, especially in summer. Why don't you make a little hut for yourself and sit in that hut? But Raghunath Das Goswami was just, he was not bothered about his bodily inconveniences. He was beyond that platform. So it didn't matter to him at all. But once when he was chanting like this, Rupa Goswami saw from far away that Radharani is personally standing with her veil on top of Raghunath Das Goswami. And he saw that Raghunath Das Goswami is peacefully chanting because he's feeling the shade of the Radharani's veil, but Radharani is perspiring. And this darshan he had from far, and then he went and woke up Raghunath Das Goswami from his meditation of chanting. And he said that, are you realizing what is going on? And he said, no, what happened? He said that Radharani was personally coming and serving you. She had spread her veil over you, and that is why you were not realizing the heat, but she was realizing the heat and she was perspiring. So now can you please at least make a hut for yourself? Because we don't want to take services from the Supreme Goddess of Fortune. So then Raghunath Das Goswami heard, like listened to their instructions, and he allowed the Vrajvasis to create a small hut for himself. But we see how Radharani was so merciful, she would personally come down to serve all these Goswamis. On another occasion, Rupa Goswami felt like serving his elder brother, Sanatan Goswami. So he wanted to serve some sweet rice to him. And he was thinking, but how do? I have not been able to go for Madhukari, because most of the times these Goswamis were not worried about their own, you know, tongue or stomach or anything like that. They would just be absorbed in writing or in, you know, chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So he had not been able to go for Madhukari, but this desire had aroused in his heart that I want to serve Sanatan Goswami some sweet rice today when he comes to see me. So as soon as the desire aroused in his heart, again, Radharani, the supreme goddess in Vrindavan, she doesn't allow the desires of her pure devotees to go unfulfilled in Vrindavan. So she appeared as a little cowherd girl, and she came there with some milk, some sweet rice and some sugar, some rice and some sugar. And she told, Babaji, you didn't go for Madhukari today, and that is why I have brought these things for you. So shall I leave it, or I can quickly make some sweet rice for you if you want, Babaji? And Rupa Goswami said, okay, if you want, you make. Because she was like a little cowherd girl. And he had seen so many cowherd girls in Vrindavan like this. So then that cowherd girl sat and made the sweet rice quickly. And as soon as she made the sweet rice, the whole hut where Rupa Goswami was living was filled with the nectar of this, the fragrance of this ambrosial nectar. It was such a beautiful fragrance. So then she went away. She disappeared from there. And Rupa Goswami offered that to Govinda. And once, you know, it had become Mahaprasad, When Sanatan Goswami came to visit him, he offered that sweet rice to Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami, as soon as he tasted the sweet rice, he started going into ecstasy. Like, you know, he started, you know, his hair started standing on end, and all those ecstatic symptoms started coming on his body. So Sanatan Goswami realized that this is not some ordinary kheer. So he asked Rupa Goswami, where did you get this kheer from? And Rupa Goswami described the whole incident. And then Sanatan Goswami understood. He said that you have not realized that was none other than Srimati Radharani who had come with all the ingredients, and she personally cooked this kheer. So, and that is why, you know, this kheer is like ambrosia. It is so nectarian, this kheer, because it has been cooked by Radha Thakurani herself. You know, Radharani had this blessing from Durvasa Muni that whatever she cooks will always be ambrosial. It will be nectarian and it will enhance the health, the life, the health and the life of whoever eats whatever she cooks. And it is described that since time immemorial, she's been cooking for Krishna. Like Yashoda Maya would call Radharani regularly to cook for Krishna, because she knew Radharani had this boon from Durvasa. And Yashoda Maya wanted the best for her Krishna, because if he eats whatever Radharani has cooked, then his health will stay good. So it is described that Radharani has never repeated one item also. Since she has started cooking for Krishna, not even one item has been repeated. And again, I was hearing in a lecture, like sometimes, you know, when 1008 offerings and all that are done, you know, they will do different versions of aloo, of potato. So there'll be a white potato curry, yellow potato curry, potato bonda, potato tikki. Like, you know, we have to repeat so much of one particular variety itself when we try to cook offerings. However, Radharani has never repeated even one dish that she has cooked ever. She's such an expert cook. So this is, you know, how she gave her mercy to Raghunath Das Goswami and to Rupa Goswami in the form of the sweet rice. And there is a beautiful pastime about a jackal. So once, you know, Radharani was passing by, like she was sitting on Radhakund on the other side, and there was a little female jackal, like a small female jackal, who was on this side of the kund, and some children, the Vrajvasi children, they were playing around and they saw this female jackal and they started chasing her and throwing stones at her and all that. You know how boys are playful sometimes. So they started, because they also got scared that this jackal might do something. So they started chasing her, and she went down into a hole out of fear. And when she went down into the hole, these children put some grass and all that and lit fire over there. And that, you know, the jackal's body started burning. So she yelped and she came out and she was running around, because her body was really scorching with the heat, with the fire. And Radharani heard this from the other side. So she asked her gopis, can you all please go and investigate what is going on? Why am I hearing this pitiful cries of an animal? So then the gopis went and they saw this jackal, female jackal in distress. And they carried the female jackal and they brought her to Srimati Radharani. And very lovingly Radharani caressed the head of this female jackal, and she became all right. And she actually fell at the feet of Srimati Radharani. So again, this pastime is described in the Radharani book by Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, just to show us the merciful nature of Srimati Radharani. That she said that even a small creature should never be in distress in my dham, in Vrindavan. Nobody should be in distress. And that is why she showed so much mercy to that jackal as well. So we see that, you know, all these pastimes are there, and obviously we are not qualified. We heard about our disqualifications, but we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so merciful that he came to actually reveal these pastimes. In fact, that famous song is there. Yadi gor na hoito tabe ki hoito kemo ne dharitam de radhar mahima prema rasasima jagate janato ke. So it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who came to open this storehouse of love for all of us. In no other sampradaya there is such deep understanding of Radharani and Krishna's leelas which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. In fact, yesterday I was having a conversation with my mother. And you know, Gujarati is like the community which I come from. They are very steeped in Vallabh Sampradaya. We had a Haveli also right in front of our house in Bombay. And regularly, like, she's very steeped in that Sampradaya, although she's now chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So she was telling me, I was talking about Radhashtami, and I was saying, yeah, there is half-day fasting. She said, but we have never done half-day fasting. Even though I used to go to the Haveli and take darshan, I have never done half-day fasting and all that. So we see that in other sampradayas, there is, because Vallabh Sampradaya is more about Vatsalya Bhav, you know, Bal, Gopal, Krishna and all that. In not many sampradayas, there is this, even bona fide Vaishnava sampradayas, this understanding of Srimati Radharani, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. He came to open the storehouse of love for all of us. However, we follow in the footsteps of the Goswamis. We realize our disqualifications and we follow in the footsteps of Goswamis who are always in the mood of separation. He Radhe Vrajadevike Chalalite He Nanda Suno Kutaha. Where are you, Radharani? Where are you, Krishna? Where are you, the son of Nanda Maharaj? Where are you, Lalita? Where are you, Vishakha? So that was the mood of the Goswamis, always feeling separation. And that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us. Not Sambhoga, that we are, I had darshan of Radha Krishna. You know, we see some Sahajiyas mentioning, I had darshan, or some people imitating the Ras Leela pastimes of Radha and Krishna. That was never the mood which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us. And Srila Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur were very particular. They actually were cutting through this Sahajiya mentality. And they were trying to teach us that we are always in separation of Radha and Krishna and how we worship Radha and Krishna, in which mood we should worship. In fact, Prabhupada was mentioning in one of the lectures that when we are worshipping Radha Krishna like this, so although we have Radha Krishna deities, Radha Vallabha in our temple, whenever the way we are worshipping them, they are actually accepting our worship in the form of Lakshmi Narayan only. Because this worship is still in the form of awe and reverence. So you are saying that Prabhupada explains that the worship of Radha Vallabha is like Radha Krishna is so esoteric that we have to Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayor Das Das Dasanudas. We follow in the footsteps of the Vrajvasis and then we come to that platform where we worship Radha and Krishna in the right or correct consciousness. Right now they accept our worship in the form of Lakshmi and Narayan, they come and accept our worship. That is the mood which Srila Prabhupada always taught us. Not that we are, you know, delving into the pastimes of Radharani. We are talking about her very loosely. And then we are thinking we have reached that platform where we can do Ras Leela. Like we see some unbonafide sampradayas, you know, doing all these things. So that is why we approach Radharani in a mood of complete submission. So in fact, one of Prabhupada's lectures, he gives, we'll end the class with his quote. So he says that, you know, as we see in Vrindavan, the whole mood is Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. Like even on the trees, everywhere we see Jai Shri Radhe written. Even autowalas, when they want to, they will not honk. They will say Radhe, Radhe. So you have to understand, you have to go on the side. That is their honk. So much they are steeped in Radharani's because she's Vrindavaneshwari. She's the queen of Vrindavan. So they are all steeped in the worship of Srimati Radharani and the mood and love of Srimati Radharani. So Prabhupada was in one of his lectures, he was teaching us the right mood of how to approach Srimati Radharani. So he was saying that, you know, on Radhashtami, like we will have soon the Pushpanjali Abhishek, he said we should do Pushpanjali Abhishek for Radha and Krishna. And when we take that flower in our hand, we just pray to Radharani and we say that, oh Radharani, kindly be merciful and tell about me to your Krishna. Krishna is yours and he will listen to you. These are Prabhupada's verbatim words, which he was telling in one of his lectures. So that is the mood in which we worship. When we do Pushpanjali, some of you all will do directly, some of us will do virtually Pushpanjali, but that is the mood. Take the flower in our hand and pray to Radharani that you please recommend me to your Krishna because he will listen to you. And Radharani is so merciful that whenever a devotee falls at her feet and says, Radharani, you please recommend me to Krishna, she is so merciful, she is always pushing devotees to Lord Krishna. And she tells Krishna that, look, this devotee is doing such nice service. You please accept him. He or she is much better than me. That is what is Radharani always doing, pushing other devotees ahead of her in the service of Lord Krishna. And that is the mood of which Srila Prabhupada came to teach all of us, the mood of surrender to Radharani and approaching Krishna only through Radharani by mercifully telling her, you recommend me to Krishna. That is the mood of prayer which he wants all of us to imbibe on this day. So we'll end the class here. Sorry, I went a bit overboard. Anybody had any questions, comments, corrections? Okay, Prabhuji. So we'll end the class here. Jai Ganthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Radhashtami Maha Mahotsav ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.